Thank you, Bert, for our beautiful opening to our worship this day. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day during this Labor Day weekend. We want to thank you for joining us for worship this morning. Thank you for joining us with your friends and your family. And for all those who may be traveling this weekend who are not here, we pray for their safety as they return home over this holiday weekend. For those that are joining us this morning via Facebook Live, thank you again for joining us this morning. I would encourage you to go to our worship bulletin on our website at www.fbc-elon.org and pull up our worship bulletin and use it not just this morning for our worship time, but for our ministries that are going on in the life of our church in the days ahead. For those that are gathered in our sanctuary, thank you for joining us for worship this morning. If you are our guest visiting this morning, we just want to take a minute and say thank you for joining us this morning. Fill out a visitor's card in front of you and drop it in the offering plate as you leave a little bit later in the worship service. If you look at your bulletin this morning, there are a few items that I want to point out to you. As we begin a new month, as we begin September, we kind of look at August in the past. But I want to say one other thing, and I cannot be said enough. Last Sunday was a wonderful day of ministry here at First Baptist Elon. Amen?
Amen.
It began early in the morning with a beautiful time of celebration for our educators with a brunch. Thank you for those who prepared the food. It was wonderful, more than enough that anybody would ever need. It was a day of celebration. It was a day of prayer for our students and our teachers. They entered back into the classroom for a blessing of the backpacks. And then last Sunday night was a day of ministry celebration that God was leading. If you have not heard, if you were not able to be here last Sunday night, please take a chance to speak to somebody who was. We had over 50 in our church family that gathered for our meal, which is wonderful. But we also had over 50 college students from our community. And that is a ministry that took place. We were connecting with our community. And that's what we're called to do each and every day. Read my newsletter this month. Make sure you look at our September newsletter. Read my newsletter article on the very front page about how we're going to follow up to those ministry opportunities. And some of those are listed today. If you look at a few mission items that are coming up later in the month, we are collecting non-perishable food items for Allied Church's food pantry. But one of those other followed-up items as we seek to make a difference in the community is assisting with Reedy Fork Elementary School, a commitment we have had for the last couple years. This year, we're going to be providing a box dinner for them as they have their curriculum night coming up on September 19th. If you want to help with that meal, we don't need your help in taking the meal out there. However, if you want to go, please let me know. We'll work that out. But if you want to donate financially towards that meal, you can designate on your envelope and place it in the offering plate and do that to help support that ministry. We're also going to be continuing our ministries that take place during the week. We'll have Bible studies starting next Sunday night for all age groups, children, youth, adults. We'll have Bible studies for our adults this week virtually starting on Thursday. I'll talk a little bit more about those studies a little bit later on in worship. We are connecting. We're trying to seek how God is moving in this place. Now, we're also going to continue some of the things we've done in the past as well. One of the items that's not in your bulletin this morning is an upcoming senior adult breakfast that's taking place at Carver's at 9 a.m. on September 13th. Our senior adults are getting back, geared back up into their ministry opportunities. There are also sign-up sheets for a senior adult outing that will be taking place coming up in the near future. So make sure you look for those opportunities. Many things going on in the life of our church. Look at your September newsletter. You can pick one up as you leave this morning as well, as we seek to connect in our community. As we gather here today, as we gather here to worship, God challenges us to worship with all our being. He wants us to shout to the Lord as we worship today. I challenge you to do that as you stand and sing this morning.
Our opening hymn this morning is Shout to the Lord. Let's stand and let's worship together. Thank you.
this morning. Our opening scripture reading comes from the prophet Jeremiah, reading chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. We are clay in the potter's hands this day. Worship will shape you this day. You will not be the same you are as you are right now when you leave this place this day. How is God molding you this morning? Let's go to the Lord in prayer this day. Creator God, all creation is your handiwork. Your touch gives life to all that is. You who shape and form us by the breath of your spirit and the touch of your grace, you alone are able to call forth from the depths of our being the beauty of your spirit that is deep inside of us. May we, in this celebration of worship this morning, surrender more deeply to your loving touch as you fashion and form your heart's desire as we are just the clay. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. Let's stand.
Jesus.
You'll notice in your bulletin this morning that our ministry highlight are our adult Bible studies that are coming up. And I want to just introduce what each of those Bible studies are and how you can connect or plug in to one or both of those studies. This fall, our adults will have two opportunities to engage in God's Word through study and discussion. First will take place on Thursday evenings at 6:30 p.m. on Facebook Live. This is the same time we've used over the summertime as we've been studying the book of Hebrews. And I'll be leading a study during this time titled Prayers of the Old Testament. Each week we'll focus on a specific prayer an Old Testament character spoke as recorded in Scripture. Maybe it's Moses, maybe it's Samuel, maybe it's Jonah. And the different type of prayer that individual shared in that specific verse in that scripture passage. By looking at each character and each type of situation they were facing as they penned these prayers, it helps us in our faith walk when we're carrying the same struggle that those individuals were at the same time. Our first session for this study will take place this coming Saturday at 6:30 p.m. on Facebook Live. On Tuesday, I'm hoping to put the reading guide or the study guide up for you. You don't need to buy a book. You don't need to read anything in advance. I'm going ahead and telling you we're going to talk about the prayer of Moses coming from Exodus chapter 15 this coming Thursday. But I hope you'll join me. You can join me in person on Facebook Live at 6:30 p.m. this Thursday, or you can watch it at any later time if you go to our Facebook page, First Baptist Church of Elon. For those who would prefer a more in-touch, in-person type of study, I'll be leading another study that will be taking place on Sunday nights this fall. This five-week study is called The 3 Mile Walk by Banner Lipscher, and I meant to bring the book in. It's right in my office, right down the hallway here. But this study is drawn from an often overlooked Old Testament story about Jonathan in 1 Samuel chapter 14. And this one passage, it talks about this 3 mile journey that Jonathan was on. This 3 mile journey that he was on will challenge us about our call. What is God calling us to do? How is God calling us to be making a difference in the world in which we live, in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our communities? It'll be talk about how our call is awakened. It'll talk about how our call is a call of holiness, how our call is a call to courage. And this call is something each and every one of us has. You might be thinking, well, no, I haven't been called. Yes, you have. We've all been called. The question is, have you answered that call? So that's what we'll be talking over on Sunday nights at 5 p.m. That study will take place beginning next Sunday night at 5 p.m. So join me in the fellowship hall for this study. If you want to join me for both, that is great. That is wonderful. I hope you will. But choose one or the other. But let's study together as we seek to grow closer to God through our times of Bible study. At this time, I'll call on Susan Reinheimer for our offertory prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you today for this beautiful day and bringing us together to worship you. As we enter a new church year, God, all our church and all things as we reach out to those in our community and we serve together to share your love and the good news of your saving grace. We have so many people that are on our prayer list and we ask your blessings for their needs. Please bring them strength and comfort. For those with unspoken prayer requests, help them to feel your peace. Now please bless our offerings and take them to be used to spread your word throughout our community, our state, our world. And in your name we pray. Amen.
praise team for our special music today. Thank you for leading in worship this morning. And again, let me say good morning to everybody. Thank you for joining us for worship on this Labor Day Sunday morning. I know it's that temptation weekend, that last chance to escape down to the coast. I saw many of my friends on Facebook have posted up there at the beach. I feel a little bit jealous this morning, but that's okay. That's okay. This summer, we have been on a journey of sorts. Not a vacation, but a journey. We've been all the way starting back in June and now carrying us to the first Sunday in September. We've been dipping our toes into the pool that is the Book of Psalms. And I shared from the outset that we would not have the opportunity to go through all 150 Psalms in this series. I'm pretty sure if I got preached every Sunday on the Psalms, that'll be 150 Sundays. That's easy sermon prep. Y'all might leave before I got to 30 or 40. However, I shared with you from the outset that while we may not cover them all, I encourage you to read them. I was going to pique your interest with some of the categories that's found in this book, and I hope I've done that. And I hope you've had a chance to read around the ones that I've used on Sunday mornings. You've had the opportunity to read a couple of those extra psalms that may have been around. Also, I decided as I was going to conclude this sermon series that I would finish on what is probably the most popular psalm of all, and that is Psalm 23. Now, I will tell you something about sermon prep. This is how my sermon prep works. When I'm preparing for a sermon, as I was preparing for the sermon series, the sermon series prep took place months ago. And so I had everything planned out, which psalm to use, which Sunday. I pass it on to Gay. She tries to line up the music to work well with what I'm going to preach that Sunday. And so I gave Gay Psalm 23, and I said, this is what I'm going to preach on. You know Psalm 23. I know don't have to worry much about that. And that was months ago. And so as I came to write the sermon, and I come to this time, I always write my sermon in my head first because I want to get it how I think it's supposed to work. Then I'll put it on paper. I'll put it aside for a little bit. I'll come back to it, and then that's what I deliver until God gets in my way. And that's what happened with this sermon. So you see, because when I put this on paper, and I thought, wow, this is a good one. I mean, I was like Psalm 23. I was going to talk about how we're getting led into the valleys of life, and we've all been in those valleys, and God pulls us out as the shepherd that he is, and I was thinking, man, this is just going to be one of those, you know, earth-shattering, powerful sermons. That's what this finale was going to be until 1 o'clock this morning. 1 o'clock this morning, God said, that's not what you're going to preach. So, I will show you what my sermon looks like this morning. At 1 o'clock, I write a manuscript for all my sermons, by the way. 1 o'clock, I am scratching out stuff. I'm chicken scratching on corners that I have no idea what words are there. So, you got to hang with me this morning because I have to say some things that I'm hoping God's going to put the words in my mouth because it was at 1 o'clock when I was writing this. So, Psalm 23. We all know it. The Lord is my shepherd. But there's just something about that psalm. And there's just something about that one statement, the Lord is my shepherd, that bothers me. It bothers me. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. Do you hear it? There's something in that statement that's just not right to me living in 2022. And the thing is this, I don't know the first thing about being a shepherd. And I don't know the first thing about sheep. So when God says, and when David wrote this psalm, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, we're talking about an individual who had sat out in the fields. He was literally a shepherd for part of his life. He took care of sheep. He took care of the animals. And so when he makes that statement, "The Lord is my shepherd," he knew exactly what that meant. Now, raise your hand in here if you have shepherded sheep before. Yep, you were. This is like if you said back in his time, "The Lord is my computer maker who makes technology work in my time." That's the exact opposite of what's going on back in David's time. He would probably sit there and go, "That don't make a lot of sense. I have no idea what this person's talking about." And it may be like you sitting here nodding at me, saying, "I don't know where he's going with this. I'm not really sure what's going on here. Why don't we sing 'Shout to the Lord' again? Because it was really peppy. Let's go back there. But hang with me here. What does it mean to be a shepherd? And why in this analogy of Psalm 23 are we defined as sheep? You see, we know Psalm 23. Many of us can quote it word for word. It is the most quoted scripture passage beyond the Lord's Prayer of anything. We know that psalm. And when David was writing it, he was writing to a group that understood it. But why do we hold so dear to it today? There's just something about it. There's an author by the name of Philip Keller, K-E-L-L-E-R. Philip Keller was born in Kenya in 1920, and he grew up in East Africa for his life. He was literally surrounded by nomadic shepherds whose way of life was similar to what King David faced back in biblical time, 4,000 or so years ago. Philip Keller walked the walk that King David did. So if he were sitting in our middle section today and I said, "Raise your hand if you've ever shepherded a sheep," he would have raised his hand and said, "I got it. I know how to do it. I've been there." That's who Philip Keller was. He made a living as a shepherd, both as an owner of a flock and later as a ranch manager managing many different flocks. So when he wrote a classic devotional book, which is titled A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, this piqued my interest. A shepherd's look at Psalm 23. You see, this guy experienced what it is to be like David, writing it as a shepherd in the field. He knew what a shepherd did, and so why don't we take it from the expert? Now, you can find many copies of this book. You can go on Amazon, and I think it's as cheap as $5. It's called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. In each chapter, Keller takes one line from this psalm and he defines it. He talks about what it means to be a shepherd, what it means to be a sheep, how to break it down for people in the 21st century, and why Psalm 23 still means so much today. And he also shows and proves why we are a lot like sheep. I don't think any of us really realize when we read Psalm 23 that when we're the sheep, it's really not a compliment. Have you ever been near a sheep? Anybody? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Do they smell good? No, they don't. They smell bad. Are sheep smart? No. Sheep are the exact opposite. Sheep are dumb animals. They have no sense of direction. If they are now in an unfamiliar territory, they will become completely disoriented. They have no idea where to go. They absolutely refuse to ask four directions. That's a little bit like humans, right? Also, they don't discriminate what is healthy to eat and what's not healthy to eat. Whatever you put in front of them, they will eat. They will graze on toxic plants that will make them sick as a dog, and then they'll go right back to it and eat it all over again. Sheep aren't smart. Second, as I said, sheep are not clean animals. Their wool produces a lot of sticky oils. And without a shepherd literally shear the sheep, these oils will mat up in their wool. It attracts pests and parasites. And if not sheared, it will kill the sheep. Finally, sheep have no natural defenses against their predators. They do not have sharp teeth or claws. They cannot run fast. They don't know where to run, even if they did. They have poor eyesight. And unless they're in the middle of a snowstorm, guess what? Sheep can't camouflage themselves. There is a reason there aren't any sheep mascots in any high schools. Maybe the new high school in Alamance County should be called the Sheeps. Man, that's what I'm going to have to write. I'm going to send our school board that. So what is it about this psalm that makes us okay when King David literally calls us sheep? Let's read Psalm 23 this morning. The words will be on the screen behind me. You can read along. Y'all know it. Let's all read it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This psalm has two specific parts. The first part of this psalm talks about the shepherd. We need to understand the shepherd, and that's what Keller does in his book. The first thing that we must recognize about this shepherd who is tending us is his sufficiency. He doesn't need anything to take care of us because he can just do it. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Everything that follows in Psalm 23 is based on that assumption that we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. You've surrendered your will to Him. He is yours. You are His. You've entrusted your life to everything He has. And Keller writes that the day He purchased His first 30 sheep in His life, when He first made that purchase, those first 30 sheep, He made what was called an earmark. He made his mark on that animal. Why did he do that? It's because when they were out in the fields, and when they were grazing miles off, and he was looking in the distance, he could look out, and all he had to do was to catch the ear of one of the sheep, and he could see his earmark. And by seeing that earmark, he knew who was his. That's what God does for us. We don't need an earmark, one, thank goodness. But He sees us, and He recognizes us, and He knows us. Our Lord has marked us as His, and I'm thankful that He did. If this is the case, and He is our shepherd, what can we expect from Him? What comes from that? What is the sufficiency part of being a shepherd? First, we shall not be in want. I shall not want is a funny little phrase here. We kind of get it twisted around sometimes. In Scripture, when it says, you shall not steal, we know don't take something that's somebody else's. That's pretty literal. But when we hear that phrase, you shall not be in want, what exactly does that mean? Basically, it's quoting what Philippians 4:19 says, which says, and my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, did you catch that? It's God's going to provide everything we need from his riches, not our riches. Most of the time when we're praying to for God to speak out of our riches. But that's so limiting. So do you believe that the shepherd is sufficient? If you do, verse 2 says this, he makes me lie down. Keller shared that sheep will not rest unless they feel free from fear. If they have any little bit of fear, sheep will not go to sleep. We're the same way. That's why I think he woke me up at 1 o'clock this morning. He didn't wake me up. I wasn't even asleep yet. Our good shepherd is there for us. Then it says, he leads me beside green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Our shepherd provides refreshment. If we're left on our own, sheep will continue, when sheep are left alone, sheep will eat grass and then eat roots, and they'll eat all the way down to dirt. They'll eat absolutely everything, and nothing will grow there ever again. When God says he will provide refreshment for us, he's saying, guess what? I'm going to provide, and I'm going to provide out of abundance, not out of the limits of what you can reside on. We're a little bit like sheep when we try to find sufficiency for ourselves. But it doesn't stop there. The psalm says, he restores my soul. Our shepherd provides salvation. When a sheep falls down, especially if it has not been sheared in a while and it's gotten heavy, when a sheep falls down, it cannot get up on its own. It's like, I've fallen, I can't get up. We all remember those commercials, right? A sheep's that condition. When it has that much weight on it, it falls down and it can't get up. And the name for a sheep that does this is called a cast sheep, a C-A-S-T sheep. Keller writes, a cast sheep is one of the most pathetic things that you will ever see. It's lying on its back or its side. Its feet are in the air. It's frantically struggling to survive and to stand. And if someone does not arrive in time, it will die. And according to Keller, nothing gets more attention from a shepherd than looking for a sheep that they fear has been cast. Any signs of trouble, the shepherd will go look. If the number is not correct of what they own, the shepherd will go look. Doesn't this sound like someone we know? Sounds like our shepherd. You see, the similarities between sheep and us continue as we continue to read Psalm 23. He leads me in paths of righteousness. The shepherd is the one leading the flock, even when he leads them to low valleys. And this is one of the most misunderstood verses I think people understand. When we read Psalm 23, we assume that low valley means something bad is going on. That's not the case. We have to go through the low and up the top and through the low and up the top. That's life. You don't have to be going through bad to be in the low. You can be up on the high and be in a bad place. So when it says he leads them on low valleys, he leads me in paths of righteousness, the shepherd is the one leading the flock. That's the key. He's leading them in the low valley to a place that has nourishment, to grass that needs to be eaten, to feed the sheep. So then the sheep can come back out of the valley up to the mountaintop. And guess where they're going to go after up on the mountaintop? They're going to go back in the valley again. That's the way it works. The shepherd is leading. He provides courage. I will not fear. He provides companionship. You are with me. He provides comfort and loving discipline. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Our shepherd, our Savior is sufficient. But it doesn't stop there. Because then we come to verse 5. And it's like David all of a sudden realized something else that he needed to include in this psalm about the sheep and the shepherd. We see a shift. David goes from talking about the shepherd and his relationship with the sheep. Now he's talking to the shepherd. He leads me. He prepares a table before me. The first thing you might be saying is, when's the last time you saw a sheep sitting at a table? Never seen a sheep sitting at a table. And the last thing, I've never seen a sheep sip from a cup. When we see Psalm 23, we see a shift from dependence, our dependence on the shepherd, towards our responsibility as sheep. You see, verse 5 is that shift that we all need. We do not just throw our hands up in the air and say, I'm dumb, I'm dirty, I'm defenseless, and it's all what God needs to do. No, that's not what God has called us to do. He didn't say, I'm going to do all the work for you, I'm going to mold you, and then I'm just going to leave you here so everybody can look at you, and I'm going to keep doing the work over here. No, he says, I'm going to challenge you to get up and do the work that lies ahead of you. So what is required of us as sheep? What is required of us as the saints? He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The literal Hebrew there says, you arrange before me a table and before ones attacking me. Have you ever thought about that statement before? Where does that table have to sit? Look at it. Where does that table have to sit if it's going to be in the presence of your enemies? It has to sit between you and them. It sits between you and your enemy. And why in the first place would we put a table between ourselves and someone we call our enemy? Because it's about reconciliation. It's about creating peace. There is no relationship that cannot be reconciled by the Good Shepherd because he has challenged us to put the table where it needs to be. But we have to be willing to do it. We have to be willing to do it. And it can happen in the kingdom of God. The psalm continues with, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Sheep don't get anointed. They got enough oil on their own. So who gets anointed? According to Exodus 40 and 2 Corinthians 5, priests get anointed. Anyone that goes out to reconcile people to God gets anointed. And we just learned in Hebrews over the last couple months that the high priest, Jesus Christ, was anointed. We've been anointed to reconcile people to God. Psalm 23 concludes with this statement, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David wanted to shift back to the shepherd just one more time. We've been talking about the sheep, talking about the sheep following the shepherd, how God leads and guides us where we need to go. And then all of a sudden we have goodness and mercy following us. Shouldn't we be following the goodness and mercy? Why are they following us? Let's carry that image a little bit further. Goodness and mercy are the sheepdogs that are out in the field with you. They're the ones guiding and keeping the sheep close. They're the ones that are coming back to the shepherd, telling them where that sheep that's cast off a little bit, where he is. They're the ones that are walking along the way, interceding when they need to and not interceding if they don't. But they're doing God's work because they're doing God's work because of who you are, his sheep. Now, I don't know. Maybe I should have preached the sermon that I'd written a week ago. And maybe these are just the ramblings of a 1 a.m. pastor. But I do know this. God's goodness and mercy lovingly points us back towards the Good Shepherd. Always. No matter where we are. And he's leading us to the house of the Lord forever. And I'm ready. But how about you? Let's pray. Father, there's some metaphors that we grasp and we understand, and there are some that we just grapple with, and we are so thankful for that. And I'm thankful that Psalm 23 has had the impact on so many for so long, and I hope today, as our church family leaves, they carry more information about shepherd and sheep than they ever thought they would have. And I also pray that as they leave today, that they will know that they are his sheep. But Father, as we come to that time of commitment, maybe today someone feels that they've kind of gotten off the path. They're a cast-off sheep. May they know that God is right here, ready to bring them back into the fold. Whatever the commitment is this day, whatever it is, may it be made today. Amen. Whatever you need to make today, don't put it off. The altar is yours. Let's stand and sing. Place today, know that you don't go out as a sheep without a shepherd. The shepherd is with you every step of the way. Be ready to use the mercy and goodness wherever you go. Go in peace.